Okay, we're ready to begin, and I'm going to introduce Michael Lippmann, who is the Information and Intelligence Systems Division Director, and he'll introduce our speakers for today. Michael?
Thanks so much, Wendy. I was greeted on a call earlier today with happy last day of the fiscal year. So I will pass that along. Happy last day of the fiscal year to everyone. Hope you're celebrating appropriately. I'm delighted to kick off this webinar on a recent DCL on planning grants to create AI-ready test beds. This is a topic that I personally was extremely excited about, and I'm just delighted to have been able to work with Wendy Nilsson and Todd and SJ, who are going to be talking to you today about this DCL and what we're looking for in terms of interactions and ultimately proposals. So without any further ado, I'll introduce Todd, who's Todd Lean, who's from my division, and SJ, who's from the TIP division, and let's hear what they've got to say. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, Michael. So this is we're addressing the AI Ready Testbed DCL, which, as Michael said, he has spearheaded, and we're excited to have been able to get a DCL out, with thanks due to Wendy, who did much of the groundwork on that. So I am in IIS, and SJ is in TIP. And SJ, do you want to say anything about TIP's involvement in this?
Sure, just briefly. The TIP Directorate, I think the most important thing is that it's the newest kid in the block, technology innovation and partnerships. And we are very glad to partner with ZEISS, and in particular IIS, on this AI-ready testbed program. TIP is looking forward to see proposals that will help advance technology as well as workforce development through this program. Thanks, Todd.
Okay, so why AI-ready test beds? Well, AI has jumped from the lab into the world, and the consequences for society are profound. But to better understand how AI technology can be best adopted in high-impact human, economic, and so forth settings, we need to address some challenges. People need to connect into and craft algorithms for dynamic, connected, and domain data streams. We need to employ technologists and domain experts to guide new researchers to easily connect to a domain. We need facilities and infrastructure that allow researchers to embed with frontline service providers and domain experts. We want to lower the cost and the communication barriers at entry to application domain for AI researchers. And we also certainly want to ensure privacy, safety, and equity going forward with deployments of AI technology. So what are AI-ready test beds? Well, the vision is the construction of shared infrastructure, which may be at a specific locale or distributed across locales. But the idea is that the infrastructure will support AI research through remote access by a large community of researchers. So these planning grants are intended for people that want to develop AI test beds for the use of the larger community, not just for the use of the people that build the infrastructure. So these test beds will focus on AI impact in real-world use cases in the context of a living lab that includes software and hardware that allow access to archival data, live sensor data streams, sensor reconfiguration, and actuators where appropriate. AI-ready test beds will also include technologists and domain experts on site that will actively support the research projects from external teams. So part of your planning needs to be to include the people involved that will help support access by external researchers. And the idea is that multiple projects and teams, some remote, some perhaps on site, would be conducting projects at the same time in order to promote inter-project collaboration and help nexus building. So the elements, again, are a shared structure, a living lab model, workforce development for the future, and nexus building environment. The benefits, an economy of scale achieved as each team doesn't have to recreate the infrastructure needed to do the domain-specific research. This allows funding to provide new insights rather than repetitive infrastructure development. So this also should aid reproducibility through common infrastructure and common data sharing. Again, collaboration and nexus building is a natural bonus, but not automatic. It will take some work and planning. AI-ready sites will provide a natural vehicle for nexus building, provided the communications is available for and between different projects. Interagency partnering provides domain and concrete infrastructure to further interagency collaborations, for example, the Department of Transportation, state and regional transportation authorities for transportation. In fact, that's the concrete example that we'll use in this presentation. But it's certainly not the only one that we would consider. So consider, just for concreteness, an AI-ready transportation hub. As the figures indicate, this would involve local community-supported transportation, perhaps shipping, personal vehicles, air transportation, and trucking. So we're conceive of a large gamut of modalities. An AI-ready transportation hub could provide access to multiple data sources, such as live sensor feeds, as well as archival data, traffic, air quality, noise, emergency vehicle presence and access, public transportation utilization and state, and the effects of repairs on traffic and metro services. It could provide access to cyber controls for sensor reconfiguration or mobile sensor placement, and even modulate traffic control where appropriate and safe. Such a transportation hub testbed would provide support for multiple projects concurrently. Projects could include efforts to improve navigation, traffic management, both for everyday and special events and emergencies, improving environmental factors such as noise and air pollution, last mile delivery, mixed autonomous and standard vehicle traffic, and on, let your imagination go. So here's we regard as the central figure to show what we're trying to achieve and what we expect the components to look like. So the items in this box on the right are internal to the testbed, and they would include ways of sharing data, archival data and live sensor stream, as well as surveys that may be conducted or have been conducted in the past. There will be on-site a set of domain experts to help inform the data collection and whatever is, and also sensor actuator control where appropriate. There will be some demonstration project researchers during the build of the infrastructure to make sure that the facility has the required communication data infrastructure for research, and certainly engineers, software designers, and builders to provide the infrastructure. On the outside, and this is considered an integral part of your planning, is that that we envision these AI-ready test beds to be able to accept, to accommodate research projects from guest researchers that are not within, not within the domain of, not within the domain and not necessarily the people that have participated in constructing it. Okay, so that's the vision, is that you have a facility and infrastructure to support outside researchers. Lots of possible themes. There are many areas have potential for real world impact and a need for research to better understand how AI can help and to understand challenges regarding privacy, safety, and equity, how to integrate AI researchers into a domain. These include AI-ready assisted living, education, science laboratories, emergency response systems, public safety, finance and banking, weather, power grid control, farming, space operations, criminal and juvenile justice, robot-ready manufacturer, urban services such as infrastructure repair and maintenance and social services, and AI-ready wireless network platforms. Planning grant requirements and our program vision. Planning grant proposals must identify an existing testbed that will be enlarged or enhanced to be AI ready. So we don't envision this round of planning grants to address building from scratch. That's one of the central, one of the two central criteria for your concept outlines. Proposals must focus efforts on providing a platform and supporting infrastructure, both technology and human infrastructure, to support access by a broad research community wanting to bring their AI expertise into the domain, the application domain that your testbed will address. Proposals must make the case that your testbed will enable exceptional research for others in the community. So those first two bullets are the primary considerations for the full proposal program to follow, for the planning grant and full proposal program. Proposals should include evidence of community need. Can't just assume if you build it, they will come. We want to know upfront that there's an apparent need from the community, either through surveys, through publications, through prior workshops or symposium, and through direct communications by potential users. So some degree of modification and control over the inputs and outputs, such as sensors, communications, physical actuators, manufacturing flow, and such should be available. Now, there's an obvious trade-off between risks and usability. So at the low end, where there is very little control by external researchers, utility is low. And at the very high end, the risks are too great. You're not going to enable robotic surgery for arbitrary people coming in and trying to exercise their algorithm. So there's some sweet spot in between. So you will need to consider, you know, the amount of control available to the researchers along this scale. Planning grant requirements and program vision. The scale of the domain should facilitate multiple research questions and broad community interests. So for example, if you're interested in power systems, then a proposal that talks about the entire power grid versus focus on wind turbine control only, or in transportation, a mixed transportation system versus focus on autonomous vehicle simulation only, will be preferred. That is, we're looking for breadth in the kinds of projects that can come in. Planning grant activities will include identifying and cultivating the researchers who will use the testbed and ascertain their needs through workshops and such. And the full proposal program, which follows, will fund living lab environments for the entire community, not again, primarily the hosts and their already existing collaborators. We anticipate for the full proposals multi-million dollar awards over a five-year period. Planning grants. So the DCL specifically asked for planning grants to create teams to construct AI-ready testbeds. The planning grants will support costs associated with forming teams, planning and defining AI-ready infrastructure, cultivating an external user committee, collecting preliminary data and demonstrations, and creation of governance and management plans. Planning grants should cultivate research teams to actively address the expansion or enhancement of an existing testbed. Again, we're not envisioning in this round to create testbeds from scratch, but rather enhancing existing testbeds to implement and evaluate the impact of applying novel AI research methods in the domain. The proposals should articulate the types of research questions and the AI-ready test that the AI-ready testbed will support. Planning grants will support organizing activities to help form AI-ready testbed teams and crystallize ideas and infrastructure development and research plans to be presented in a future AI-ready testbed full proposal. Some questions that we've received or anticipate based on the nature of the DCL. Does the existing testbed have to have computational components in place, or is the domain function, for example, warehouse or farm cooperative without existing automation sufficient? Well, you can do either. We will consider that proposed projects that already have some computational component will be the strongest proposals. So those that have some computational component, making them AI ready for a broad research community will be the strongest one. Second question, we've had several questions on participation by for-profit businesses. So can the existing testbed be at a for-profit business? And if so, can some of the planning grant funds be used to support personnel from that business? Yes, NSF encourages teaming with industry facilities. However, NSF does not typically fund the activities carried out by a for-profit business. So these constraints and usual accommodations are discussed in the PAPPG sections 1E2A. So please look at the PAPPG for details. And then finally, so on this slide, can we submit a planning grant proposal if we receive a discourage or do not encourage decision on the concept outline? The answer is no. These discourage or encourage decisions are binding. Please see the PAPPG sections 1D1, concept outlines, and 2F1 on planning grants. SJ, do you have anything to add, particularly on industry or for-profit business involvement?
I think it will be, we would encourage having industry partners, but I think per the guidelines, we would encourage either academic or nonprofits to lead. But the industry partners can be very helpful in terms of providing testbed facilities as well as many usage cases.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. So again, we encourage the academics to be the leads.
That was actually Q&A also about that. And there are several questions actually in the Q&A, Todd, if you want to take some
okay.
of them.
Okay, let's get through the frequent questions. I think this is the last slide on those. How many planning grants will NSF support? And we're thinking of up to 10. When will the funding decisions on the planning grant applications be made, or May or June of next year, 2025? Is support for graduate students appropriate in planning grant proposals? The answer is yes, provided they're appropriate research roles that will advance their graduate studies. Question, does the DCL stresses that AI-ready test beds are expected to primarily support projects from researchers outside the group that constructs the test bed. How will those research projects be supported? How will ongoing operations and maintenance of the AI-ready test bed be supported? Those issues will be articulated in the future solicitation for the full AI-ready project proposals. DCL, the planning grants to create AI test beds. The planning grant budgets may be up to $100,000 for a year with a maximum total funding of $200,000 for 24 months. Planning grant proposals must be submitted by 5 p.m. Submitting organizations local time on November 13th, 2024. And for further information, please use this email address, aiready_testbeds@nsf.gov. Do you have any questions? Let's see. Let's look in the Q&A.
So Todd, I think the first question is, what do you mean by AI ready? That's appeared multiple times.
Ah, okay. So I am an AI researcher that has works in, supposing I'm an AI researcher and I work in scheduling, and I want to apply scheduling, new scheduling algorithms to public transportation, right? But I don't want to spend 3 or 4 or 5 years working up relationships with local transportation authorities. And so this is supposed to be what AI Ready does. It's supposed to provide a facility where that I could turn to get algorithms implemented. They'll tell me what data they have for either training or evaluating algorithms. They'll tell me how I might directly interface with schedules if that sort of control and manipulation is allowed. So hopefully that's an example that helps. Okay. So SJ, I invite you to go ahead and help with the going through the
questions. Can I give questions. You another one?
Sure.
So focusing on the example you had, is it the testbed provider's responsibility to ensure that domain experts are available to answer questions to guests running experiments?
Yeah, the domain experts are supposed to be part of the human infrastructure that you consider in your planning. And when we announce the full program grants, we expect that they would be included as well. So that's sort of, again, go back to this. Go back to this slide. These guest researchers are supposed to be able to interface with the system in a fluid way so that the domain experts, if needed, the domain experts will be there. If they're not needed post-build, then there would be some other, you know, people that tell you just how to get to the data or what kind of access to controls there are. You may not need the domain experts to interface, but if it's necessary, then they will be part of the infrastructure that you consider building and would ask for support, continuing support on.
So there is another question. How do you define existing testbed? Does it have to be something already funded by NSF?
No, it doesn't have to be NSF. In fact, we've had direct inquiries from other people that have test beds outside of NSF. It does not have to be an NSF-funded test bed.
And a related question is, can the test bed be a federal asset?
I'm not sure how to answer that. I think we would need more
we actually
information on how accessible it is. Go ahead.
Todd, in the DCL, we list many federal agencies that have testbeds existing. Right. So yes, you can leverage an existing testbed with appropriate permissions from the other agency.
Yeah, you have to have access. Don't sell the Brooklyn Bridge if you don't own it. Other questions?
So the DCL mentioned about collecting pilot data. What exactly does the pilot data mean in a planning grant? Previous data or new data?
It could be either. It's to facilitate your planning around data access. You may have to, develop data sets in order to test various approaches to disseminating them.
Is there a deadline for submitting the concept outline?
No, there isn't. But bear in mind that it can take a week to 10 days for us to get through to them. And after the webinar, we expect to have kind of a flood because you have more information now. Make sure you do it early so that you'll get a response quick enough to put together your planning grant.
And related to that is someone is asking that is the concept outline submission and receiving approval mandatory or required before a planning grant may be submitted?
Yeah, you have to. In fact, the DCL says that you have to include our letter back to you saying encouraging you to submit the planning grant. So that's one of the documents that has to be included with your planning grant submission. And that's also discussed in the PAPPG.
So somebody asked, they're developing a set of open source software that are large language models, AI pipelines with applications in many areas. Would that be a testbed? It really seems like you need a lot more information on this one.
Yeah, that is kind of nebulous. It depends on, how broad the application testbeds are. And I guess the idea is that you would provide infrastructure that would allow people to move into the application domains easily. So that's something that, you maybe follow up with emails to SJ or myself. You can actually just send a question to this AI ready testbed. Just send a very short, specification of what you're thinking about doing, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, and I will add to there is at the end of that question, there is something it says. We do have a deep partnership in criminal justice, but the data is sensitive, making it difficult for the data to be shared broadly, which seems like a bigger question than just this one. Can you talk about how people should be thinking in these data sensitive areas?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about the utility. If people don't have direct access to the data, do you have a plan for housing, accommodating their research questions? You would have to act, I don't know how you do that. You'd have to come up with a plan for hosting research where you cannot share the data freely. Anything you'd like to add to that, Wendy?
No, I think there are some cases where there might be a setup that has synthetic data or something that is based on the main platform in sensitive areas, but obviously they would have to, it's a complicated way to think about this, but it is possible.
There is a question. The RFP mentioned AI-ready farming and AI-ready wireless platforms. Could a proposal focus on integrated farming and wireless? Is that encouraged or two separate proposals are encouraged depending on the scales of projects allowed?
If you can make a case for community need for, doing both, if you think that if there's an argument for that, that will facilitate research areas that are in demand, then that's fine.
AI ready for medical healthcare applications does not appear in the example list. Does this indicate this is of no or less interest to fund this topic?
NSF does fund quite a bit of research in bringing AI smart technology into healthcare. And so it wasn't left off to intentionally discourage it. I suspect that Wendy would have some particular things to say about that.
This gets into the safety question. So I think if people can create a system that people can work with, that can interact with humans, and that has AI-ready data in the medical domain, that's absolutely fabulous. But you have the privacy. You're not going to want to have, if you're working with some big data organizations, you're going to have a whole series of permissions. How limiting are you going to be, and who's going to use this and how? And are you going to be able to do experimentation with AI if there are real patients involved in the system? So it's a safety and privacy issue that led us not to focus on that. Doesn't mean we didn't like it.
That's another question. For AI-ready wireless platforms, can domain experts be wireless researchers and engineers instead of other size-supported domain sciences?
Why don't you speak to that?
Yeah, I can say that. Yes, the answer is yes. It depends on the testbed, what the testbed does.
And I will say that, remember, this is size and tip. It is not just computing research. We're interested in a large range of areas where AI-ready testbeds would be important, and that it crosses many, many areas. So that's why size and tip are together on this.
Another similar question is, would you prefer the testbed to support multi-domains or focus on one domain?
I think there's a lot to be done for any one domain. Again, this is similar to the particular question about farming and wireless. If there's a compelling reason to join several domains in order to facilitate research that wouldn't be possible, and you can make a case for that being in demand, then yeah, go ahead.
What is the difference between planning grant and full proposal?
Well, the scope, the full proposals will be to actually build the thing. Those will be multi-million dollar grants over a period of up to 5 years.
So here's
whereas the planning grants are max out at 200,000 for 2 years. Right. Go ahead, Wendy, sorry.
Would a simulation environment be acceptable as part of an AI-ready testbed development, for example, to allow guest researchers to test in simulation first at lower risk and cost before testing on a physical testbed?
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. That's a way to get some initial knowledge about failure modes and decide if you want to set it free. And I think, some sort of graded release into that takes an account of safety issues is a great idea.
So there's a question that says they're trying to understand the nonprofit academia versus for-profit. Does this mean only nonprofit or academics can be approved at the planning level?
No, again, please see the reference sections in the PAPPG about participation of for-profit entities.
Could you please elaborate on the living lab concept? Does it need to involve communities living in?
No. It doesn't have to be a residential. That's not the idea at all. The idea is that instead of an isolated environment, again, supposing you're doing something in manufacturing control, rather than do it in a lab, you know, in your university, we want something we're looking for something much more realistic, where researchers have the opportunity to actually embed algorithms in a real operation.
Is there a cap on how many planning grant proposals one PI can submit?
Not to my knowledge. These are being submitted under the PAPPG, so the size doesn't count towards the size limits. I don't know what TIP has for limits.
No, and the PAPPG doesn't have limits. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Yep.
In the Q&A here, one of the answers states that a planning grantee is not required to submit a full proposal. Could you clarify?
So planning grants are not required for full proposals. We normally don't do that. So planning grants help you set up your good full proposal. And so if you're not doing one, you should think about why it wouldn't be a good idea to do one. But we don't usually require them.
I have a question about the Q&A. So there's a lot of questions in the Q&A queue. Are you guys going to answer the ones that you don't get to in this call? And if so, how will people get to see those answers?
If you don't get your answer, if your question answered during the call, then I suggest that you send question to this address, the AIReadyTestBeds@nsf.gov. I'm a little apprehensive. I don't want to clog that up with questions, because we want to make sure that we can get to the concept outlines which are being sent there. But if we don't get to you during the session today, then that's an opportunity. How are we doing? In the Q&A, I don't see. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know if people are, you know, marking these attended or not. You know, marking them answered or not.
35 have been answered. 42 are in the open queue.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, let's.
So there are questions like, can a federal national lab person be a co-PI in a planning proposal? I suggest that come through as an email, because there are requirements at NSF about having federal national lab staff involved in process projects. But, you know, some of the test beds may be at national labs. Please send an email about that. So.
Does an existing test bed have to be not AI? That is, can a testbed have some AI involved? But you want to increase more AI functionality. That qualifies. Yep.
That is a question. It sounds that your vision of a testbed is actually a production system that can be experimented with. That raises lots of privacy and risk concerns. Could a testbed be something like a digital twin of a real system?
So the technology for digital twin development is really kind of in its nascency. If you would have to make a compelling case that the digital twin is really adequate, and we're going to really prefer actual deployments in a real setting. But you're right. There are, you know, we've talked about both the privacy and the safety issues. And what we think is that if you give us some, you know, strong thought, deep thought about how to mitigate risks and what level of deployment wouldn't pose large risks, and think about a graded deployments, then digital twins or simulations could certainly play a role, but probably not. Reviewers would probably not be enthused about simulation only.
Simulation also makes it hard to deal with the humans in that loop too. So at times, so thinking about when is it a good idea? Is it the right topic that way? And by the way, there's lots of questions about whether the session is recorded and whether we'll post it. And the answer is emphatically yes.
Following up on medical question, as an example, would a testbed with a robotic system working on cadavers or animals rather than with human patients be acceptable?
It could be acceptable. You have to make a case for that being helpful for the ultimate goal of deployment in a real setting with live subjects. Yeah, that does seem like one step along the way, certainly.
So planning grants deviate from the PAPG in that they're 8 pages, so they require a very judicious use of space. Well put, by the way. Should a successful planning grant proposal include a sketch of a demonstration project that might use the testbed?
Yes. Yes. Giving evidence of, again, that helps justify the need, that helps present the need for it. That's a good question. Thanks.
Can the AI-ready testbed be entirely virtual with virtual AI agent without a physical testbed?
Yeah, this repeats the previous question about whether a twin or a simulation is adequate. So I think we've been there already. That's one step, but if that's as far as things are ever going to go, it's not all that compelling.
Here is a question that's I'm not sure whether Todd, you want to take this and you can elaborate. I'm still not clear on the difference between a testbed that is AI ready and one that is not. Can you give a counter example to better illustrate the difference?
Let's see, a counter example would be if you have a test bed in use in your lab that has no facility for external researchers to come in and either, you know, place algorithms and use past data, then that's not AI ready. It's not ready for the community. AI ready means the goals are to build something that will be that people can place algorithms in and evaluate them in a real situation. I hope that helps. Do you have anything to add, SJ?
Not really. I think we went through this several times. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're getting there. It's down to 25 now. Let's see. The lead question, I'm just going to go down the list unless one of my other colleagues jumps in.
That might be really useful to many. For proposed submitters outside the organization hosting an existing testbed, they need to work with the testbed site or get a letter of support, right? How do you show that you're working with an existing testbed? I think that's the question.
Right. You do need to have, right. So, the closest thing is if they're co-PI on it, if that's not appropriate, then a letter, then their role would have to be outlined in some quite a bit of detail in the proposal, and they should you should have a collaboration letter from them. But you do need to be very specific about what they've agreed to so that they can say, yes, we're signed up for that.
Do we know the size of the actual AI-ready testbed grant? That will help us plan for the planning grant.
So what we said so far, you know, all I've said was multi-million dollar. And Wendy, do you want to talk about it more? We've talked about possible numbers in the past. I don't know if what you want to say about that. I'm going to let you.
So we can't, we cannot release information that's not published. So we can't tell you because there's no solicitation published. I will say that there are multiple test beds in NSF now that are 3 to 5 million. So, you know, I think about what you would need, think about how your test bed would work. I think a lot of what we're looking at is what you're bringing to us at the planning grant stage too. So I think we'll learn more as we go here. That help, Todd?
Yes, very helpful. And it's true. You know, this is a new program, and we figure out what works partly, you know, in response to your input. So we're looking for fertilization of the program through your planning grants.
And also, I think there is a distinction between this and direct testbed grants or awards, because we are not here asking you to establish the testbed from scratch.
Right. So here's a related question. Does it matter whether a different director at NSF already has efforts underway to support the development of infrastructure projects in the domain of our proposed testbed? If you have funding from NSF towards building a testbed, then we could certainly encourage you to leverage that. If you're looking at applying, if you're looking at applying for either or both, I wouldn't do both if it's similar. You're not supposed to apply multiple times for the same thing. But if you're looking at making an application and wondering whether you should submit a concept statement to us instead, then why don't you send us an email?
So could the planning grant budget indicate interactions with international for a next stage? I lost my question. It vanished all of a sudden. So sorry.
Oh, somebody withdrew the
question. Visits from international collaborators that can inform more of the AI testbed in the future. For example, if we want to ask advanced certain AI aspects with the international expertise.
We haven't talked about, why don't we take that one offline, unless you have an answer for it, Wendy?
I guess the question would be, what's the advantage at the planning stage of bringing, you could say you would talk internationally, but getting a testbed up and running, you know, working with an existing one, even augmenting it, takes work. It might not be, it might be the next stage where you'd really want to think about international. Okay, many cities have open data initiatives that produce real-time data about urban infrastructure, crime, 311 calls, et cetera. Are they considered test beds in this context?
They provide data that you could use in a test bed. A full test bed would provide access to that data, domain experts to help understand. You know, it again, if it's city services, then you want to understand how the algorithmic outputs might be tested in city services. So the data is one piece that, and you could certainly, you're certainly encouraged to leverage that.
How much community need is required for the planning grant proposal versus the later construction grant proposal?
That's a good question. certainly for the planning grant, it would be stronger to have evidence for community need, and for the full grants will be absolutely, you know, necessary. So it's a good thing to start thinking about.
And there's a question about the expected size of the concept outline, planning grant, and the full proposal. The full proposal isn't written, so we're not going to tell you how many pages that's going to be. The concept outline is 2. The planning grant is 8. So please look in the PAPCHI for all the guidelines on planning and concept outlines and planning grants.
Yeah, the PAPCHI has gives you the structure of a concept outline. So it's a particular thing, not a generic term.
In a power system, testing AI on a physical grid poses significant risk and privacy concerns. Would hardware in the loop test beds qualify for such applications?
I'm not sure what a hardware in the loop means. If the questioner can ask it with a little bit more detail to fill us in. Unless, SJ, you have a sense for what's being asked.
I would say the answer is probably yes, but depending on the details. Hardware in the loop, it could be digital twin type of environment where it is actually integrated with the physical test bed. But some portions could be virtual or simulated.
Are multiple competing proposals based on extending the same existing test bed, but in different ways, encouraged, discouraged, or forbidden? And how would we know they're happening?
So the submitter wouldn't know. So we'd neither encourage them nor forbid them or discourage them.
Go. Could the AI ready testbed be a general purpose AI ready testbed that could potentially be applied to,
potentially applied to what? I didn't hear the end of it.
Potentially be applied to any of many different domains over time based on the desires of external researchers? Or does it have to be tied to a specific domain?
I think there's enough, there's clearly enough work to be done in any given domain. I don't see how you could make a compelling case for a general purpose testbed. At least at all stages, you might have a testbed which allows interfacing for evaluation, for example, but different domains are going to have different data and control needs and affordances. So I mean, you can try it. You might surprise us.
Yes, I think the you are right. I mean, but I think, as you said, it's going to be somewhat difficult to see how that can happen.
And so here's a very simple question. Can the planning grant earmark summer efforts of some of the PIs, or can it be used for efforts of a graduate student? And can we use it for equipment purchase?
So I'm not sure about equipment purchases. We've already discussed employing graduate students if it's something that fits in well with their research towards their PhD or master's. That's fine. What was the other part? They were asking for support for. Yeah, you can certainly provide faculty support, PI support. Did I miss a piece of it?
No, I think it's good. And equipment could be putting new equipment into an existing test bed to make it AI ready. So that sounds good. When a testbed targets research in some domain, such as the transportation example, is there guidance on whether a domain expert should/must lead, or an AI expert should/must lead?
No discrimination about who the lead can be. Just make sure that the team consists of all the people that you need to, the team and consultants consist of everybody you need to make a compelling case for building the thing.
And remember, you're going to want to have questions in here that really highlight why this is an AI-ready testbed. So you're going to want to make sure your team works together well to answer those questions.
It's a letter from the nonprofit IHC Tribal Nation for the concept outline required, or that at a later stage in the process.
Oh, the letter. No, the concept outline doesn't have letters of support tied to it. The planning grant proposal will. The concept outline is a standalone document. Thank you. Good question.
Yeah, but I think there is no requirement for the letter, right? Because we would encourage one of those to be the lead. Nonprofit, IHG, or tribal nations, we would encourage one of those to be the lead organization in the planning grant, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. But if you're doing, you know, if they're doing it as a collaborator, I guess that's what I assumed. Right. If you're one of the principals on the grant, PI, co-PI, or senior personnel, then they're explicitly on the grant.
All right. We only have 1 minute left. Is a single institution proposal encouraged more than a multi-institution proposal?
And Michael is typing an answer to that. Yeah.
Right. Well, having EBSCOR.
I was waiting to hear what you answered first, but no a priori preference on NSF side is what I would have typed. What do you think?
That is no preference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's a preference, right?
Okay.
Will having an EBSCOR of faculties as a PI, co-PI, or a subcontract be a bonus for review of the proposal?
Certainly, we encourage submissions from EBSCOR states.
Yes, we always encourage EBSCOR PIs and institutions to apply. There is a question, a final question, is that they want to know what it means. The narrative description of an idea may outline the goals and general approach of the project, anticipated use of funding, and how the work satisfies the NSB-approved intellectual merit and broader impacts criteria. And I think we could probably spend an hour talking about a question like this, but I would suggest please look at the PAPG, which has a whole lot of information on what the NSB, you're going to need a section on intellectual merit and broader impact, really talking about what your testbed will do, how the funding is going to be used. This is all part of writing a proposal. And the PAPG has a lot of suggestions on that. So with that, it is 2 p.m. I just want to say a tremendous thanks to the team for doing just a marvelous job. Somebody actually wrote in, thanks for doing such a marvelous job.
Yeah.
Want to say they were brilliant and they're wonderful. So thank you all. And we will be posting the recording in this as well as the slides. So thank you everyone. And we look forward to seeing your test beds.
Thank you, SJ and Wendy and Michael. Yeah, I'm glad we got through so many questions. That's great.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.